Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
exactly what you guys are doing.
Okay, listen up.
There's
an event that goes on once a year at a mud park, one of the biggest ones in this side of the state. It's over 5,000 acres, and they're having Mud Nationals there. And last year they had over 13,000 people there. There's concerts. There's different events involving four-wheelers and side-by-sides in different mud events or whatnot. Of course, everybody camps out there all week. It starts on Wednesday and it goes through Sunday. And, yeah, it's a big old party. It's crazy. So I'm packing up and I'll be packing on Tuesday, next Tuesday while we're doing a radio show. I'll be packing and taking everything with me to work, including my four-wheeler. And as soon as I get off work Wednesday, I'm heading out there.
Wow. That sounds like so much fun.
Oh,
lucky.
Yeah. I've
you're
never
doing
been.
Fun stuff. I'm happy, man. Like, you're getting out there and, like, you know, the fishing with your dad. And hey, when the hell are you going to go on your Bigfoot hunt?
I got to hit Brandon back up and see when I was waiting for it to kind of, the weather
that.
To kind of decide when he is going to do another expedition and go on that. Which, speaking of Bigfoot, I'm glad you brought this up. I got us, and I'll have to send you the link to all his info. But I came across, I was kind of going through just seeing – see, now when I book, I just kind of go through my friends list on Facebook and see who's in the paranormal, who I've never heard of, and who I want to talk to. And that's how we're getting our guests, instead of the typical get the popular people that are on shows or at events.
Right.
So I found a gentleman that has had a close encounter with a Bigfoot in Louisiana.
Really? Nice.
Yes. And he's been on multiple radio shows, been interviewed, and he's coming on this show and my Sunday show the same week. So, yeah.
Nice.
So,
wonderful. You
so
should talk
have
to Brandon and have him call in, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we'll let some other people know that we've interviewed in the past to get them involved maybe as well. And have a little Bigfoot party.
Yeah, and when I do go with Brandon on the Bigfoot expedition, I'm going to take it.
Did you get my ringtone? My ringtone.
What?
The ringtone.
Yes, I have them.
Okay.
But I'm going to take my EVP recorder and record what we do and then we'll be able to air it on one of the shows.
Cool.
That's what we got going on. But yes, I'm going to a humongous party. I'm taking my ghost hunting equipment comes in handy because of all my video cameras that have IR lights on them. I'm going to get so much video footage of people fucking things up. You know, people dancing on four-wheelers, rednecks just doing crazy redneck things. And, I should have a lot of craziness video for you.
Where are you going to release that so I can go and watch?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Well, you could make a movie. I know a place where you can just upload the shit and sell it. Like, fuck.
Yep. I also have some, and to get some real naughty footage, I have sunglasses that have a video camera and sound in the glasses that I will be wearing as I'm going out the park.
You know what? People have no idea. Like, I don't think the average person understands that real ghost hunters that have equipment and stuff like that, how capable we are of doing what things we do, you know,
yeah.
We're capable of doing.
Because I'm going to be wearing sunglasses, but no one's going to know that I'm recording them.
You know, right?
Oh, it's so bad, baby.
Oh, my God.
I guess I could post later after the event and say, okay, if anybody needs any blackmail footage, I'm sure I have something that you could use on someone you know.
Right? Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's not really directed at, you know, a individual. It's more like, I used to go to bars. Okay. And I would bring my fucking camera and film the drunk people, and I would put out videos. I have videos, and they are, like, more drunk people, and I got people dancing all freaky and crazy. But it's not
like,
you know, any body parts or anything, but people getting pretty crazy. And they know I'm filming, and they're, like, they're getting crazy for it, and I put that shit out, and, yeah, so I understand.
There's a lot of stuff on YouTube about this event that I started watching them last year, and I was like, man, I got to go to this thing, watching all these videos on YouTube and some of the craziness, because you're mixing mud, alcohol, ATVs, and rednecks and camping all in one. So it's just a big old party, you know?
Yeah. Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, have fun. Live it up. You know, what the fuck? You only live once. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right.
You're
yeah.
a single guy.
Yeah.
You got no kids. Go kick it. Kick it like a rock star.
I am. Get me a mud honey for the weekend. Well, the concerts are all redneck bands. The only one that is any familiar, which I didn't know he had a country album, on Saturday night, Uncle Cracker is performing. And, yes, he has just released a country music album.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. All right, you want to hear some frozen news, dude?
Do it. Break it down for me.
Dude, okay, some idiot. Okay, a hot chick is suing Playboy and a golfer for coming up with a cockamania stunt. They placed a golf tee in her ass and then tried to drive a ball off of it, and it didn't end well. So she is now suing. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I did. I actually heard it on the radio.
It whacked her in the ass. Well, duh, I would never let anybody stick a freaking tee in my ass. I'd have to be like 10 beers under and pass the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like,
and the fact that it's a famous actor that actually whacked her with the club. And it's actual news. it's Kevin Klein who was the culprit of it, but now she's suing for damages like $500,000.
His swing sucked. He whacked her ass. Okay, but if she willingly agreed to put the shit in her ass, then as far as I'm concerned, she invited this to happen to her, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, dead serious. Like, you know, she shouldn't be able to sue anybody for willingly laying down, putting this thing in her ass, and letting somebody take a swing. I mean, if anybody ever said, hey, let me put this on your nose and take a swing, I'd say, fuck you. You know what I mean? Fuck you. Like, I don't think that's a great idea. Why don't you go ask somebody else? You know what I mean? It's just, that's just, okay, and it makes me think of this one episode on Howard Stern, which was goddamn hilarious. I couldn't freaking believe it. Remember when Howard came out and, like, you know, he's done some crazy shit, but, okay, so this chick stuck this dildo in her ass, and it had, like, this wood stick coming out. And two guys went, I don't know, maybe 10 feet away, okay? And they were throwing these rings that had holes in them, right? They were throwing them almost like washers, you know, but like trying to catch it on the stick. And her ass was up in the air, and they were throwing it, and, you know, it was freaking hilarious, you know what I mean? Because these guys were taking this shit serious, and they were trying to win. And it just turned into, like, everybody was just busting up. I remember I was laughing. I was crying so hard. But that girl willingly shoved that thing up her butt and said, I'm going to let you throw this shit at my ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think this is I think she should not get a penny. I really don't. So there's that. And then we have I saw another one. Oh geez. Oh. Okay, a woman stabbed her husband for worshiping NASCAR. you know, that's pretty crazy. But you know what? Men can take women to the point of getting pretty ferocious and having demons come out. Men can be some ass wives, and as well as women, and that's why women get beat too, you know. It goes both ways. Okay, well, on St. Patrick's Day, there is a picture out online of a couple getting it on next to the trash can. So it's St. Patty's Day trash. And this guy has this chick bent over on a fence, and he's getting it on. They're getting it on, and somebody took a picture and was posting it out online. Here's another one.
Oh, my God.
Man went out of town. He rented his apartment to some other people coming in town to stay at his place to make some money, I guess. And he got home. They were supposed to be gone. He walked in on a full-blown orgy of oversized women and stuffed animals everywhere, with tons of people having a huge orgy, but they were all big.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, here's a great one. You're going to love this. I love this one. A man burps in Taco Bell. He is told that he is impolite and he headbutts and he is headbutted and told to apologize next time to apologize. That's crazy. You know how, you know what? Let me just tell you. I'll burp anywhere. Okay, I don't care. I have actually almost gotten in a fight one time over it. And I didn't give a shit. I was like, fuck you, bitch. You know what I mean? She didn't expect me to come back and be like, fuck you. You know what I mean? But she was like, she got up and she came at me, and I stood up too. She was rolling her mouth before she even got to me. But I would throw down for a fight, dude, or, you know, for my burps. So somebody comes at me with a headbutt, I'm slamming their head into the table. That's not going to see that shit coming. I always use the line, though, that I have a medical condition, and I'm sorry. I've used that one. Okay, here's one. Rambo-ish man is arrested. He fires Uzi in a bar. Yeah.
Damn.
So we got a Rambo on the loose, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about when this is over, we go do a little
and
coke?
And then, you know Mini-Me? Mini-Me?
Yeah.
How about when this is over, we go do a little coke? Oh. Yeah, I'm not really into coke. I'd rather have some bud.
God, Jody.
But
what
I
about
do drink Coca-Cola a lot.
What's about Mini-Me?
He apparently has a sex tape. Did you know that? And nobody wants to watch it. Nobody cares to watch it.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought if I did a sex tape and called it Paraportal Activity, I would probably sell so many.
Oh, yeah. For everybody that's listening, we always do it the first of all of our shows. Yes, this is a paranormal show, but we do crazy news that happens in the world that is really not talked about on television, of course, because of the content, but this is stuff that goes on in our world every day. Dumb shit.
And we just
crazy
see it in the news feed.
That's right. And this stuff, to me, is scarier than dealing with the paranormal.
Yeah, some of the stories out there, like the zombies and, you know, eating, it's pretty crazy. We live in a crazy world, and people don't like to talk about that kind of stuff.
No, but we do. Now, I believe our guest is on hold.
Awesome.
And tonight's guest is Julie Snyder. Julie is the founder of Lewiston Clarkston Paranormal Research Society. The team was founded after Julie and her family experienced terrifying and life-altering paranormal occurrences. There was no one in that area that could or would help. So Julie and her team vowed to learn and be available to help people understand the phenomenon. With her team members, including her husband and teenage daughter, they have vowed to help anyone no matter location or situation. Julie is a demonologist and soon will be a member of St. Michael, the Archangel's Sacred Order of Exorcists, which is a worldwide order consisting of clergy, doctors, psychologists, and paranormal investigators that are called upon to help people in need. A firm believer in paranormal unity, Julie and her team strive to promote the belief that paranormal community as a whole can work together as a collective whole in order to promote awareness and further the science. You can reach her anytime, day or night, on Facebook and on Twitter at LC Ghost Hunter, all one word, and her team's page, which is www.facebook.com/Lewiston Clarkston Paranormal Research Society. All right, we're going to bring her on. Julie,
hello.
There?
Yeah, hi.
How did
you
like
her? Hi, how are you?
Good, Jody, you?
Good. Sorry about our crazy news. We get a little wild sometimes.
I expect it. It's paranormal, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's crazy stuff in the world that, you know, I'm fascinated with crazy.
Well, I heard you talking about Mini-Me as a sex tape, and I was thinking, oh, dear God.
Right? Like, I didn't make that up. That's just out there.
Well, that's even pretty out there for what we do, but I was thinking, damn, really?
Yeah, like, imagine seeing that. Like, I don't know that I could deal with that. I mean,
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
But, you know.
God damn.
I mean, Vern Troyer, I'm sure he's a nice guy and all that, but sex tape? Come on, dude, really?
Yeah.
So, I read a little bit about you and for all that's listening. So, how did you get into paranormal? What kind of events got you into doing what you're doing now?
Well, it was terrifying for my family. My daughter at the time, you know, she was what, like 5 or 6. And have you ever been growled at, like really growled at?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to the point where you're looking around going, one, what the fuck was that? And two, you're like, well, we don't have any dogs.
Right.
You know, and where we were living in town, you know, in our apartment, we're like, we know damn good and sure that that wasn't a coyote or anything else. It was really loud, really menacing, and really close. And so I don't think my daughter's ass or mine touched the ground as we were running, but hey, you never know. I mean, I don't have that third point perspective, but I'm pretty sure we flew. Okay,
yeah.
That was just mainly the start. My husband and daughter both are sensitive in their own right. My little girl, she's 15 now, and she's working on learning as far as how to ground herself. My husband is a bit more advanced. He has a psychic thing going on, and yeah. So anyway, after we got growled at, it just escalated from there. Something was trying to take us over, and it was moving back and forth per person, you know, trying to figure out which one to settle on. I have some crazy pictures I'd be glad to show, but yeah. Face is altered. It tried taking over my daughter. It tried taking over me. The night that it attacked me, though, I was sitting native style on my bed, and not close to the edge either, maybe a foot back, and I was thrown out of my bed into a dresser requiring 9 staples in my head.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, aside from almost bleeding to death, which, you know, head wounds bleed a lot anyways, but I soaked through a beach towel that was quartered. Okay,
oh
so that's a, yeah, that's a lot of freaking blood. And
yeah.
Then it settled in my husband. We had to drive it out, and that took us almost 2 years of preparation. And, yeah, it wasn't happy. It was quite pissed off. And the thing that bothered me the most was this thing portrayed itself as a little girl, no more than 6 years old. And she called herself Sally. Well, I didn't realize the importance of that until I was watching a show on TV. And not one
Sally's
more
house?
Blown out.
Sally's house?
You know, and that's the crazy thing.
Dude, do you know that I hunted there? I hunted there.
We don't live anywhere close
forever.
To that. Yeah,
okay.
We don't even live anywhere close to that.
I have a little girl in my house that my son has seen.
I hope her name ain't Sally.
And no, I don't know. But you know what? This happened a long, like, this happened 15 years ago. And I went to the Sally house, I want to say maybe 4 years ago. And I saw a phone get lifted up over a box and thrown across the room. Good 8 feet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Landed in front of Johnny Hauser's feet. And, okay, so go on. I want to hear more because I just, you know, I had to stop you and let you know that I've been to the Sally house. So, okay.
I'm not even for sure. I don't even know where the Sally house is, but I know
Atchison, Kentucky, or Kansas.
Okay, well, there again, nowhere close to me. I'm in Washington State. And,
yeah.
We didn't even know what the correlation was between us, our thing, Sally, but after seeing the bio about the Sally house and the things that had gone on there, it terrified the shit out of me because it's very similar to what we dealt with. You know, the attacks and the manipulation, and, I mean, this thing was so deceitful, but she brought friends, so we had a couple different things to get rid of. And like I said in my bio, where we're at, we are so rural. There's only, I think, 15,000 people in our town, and then a stone's throw across the river, you're in Lewiston, Idaho. So, and that's maybe 35,000. So maybe 50,000 in our small valley, but the next town of size would be Spokane, Washington, and we're a 2-hour drive from there.
Hmm.
So,
wow.
You know, in our little podunk town, there was nobody that was qualified to help as far as paranormal investigations goes. And then I attempted to contact clergy. I was born and raised Catholic, and I called the church. They would not help. that when I said, told them everything that was going on, they said, why don't you go to church? Okay. I was like, well, don't you think it's a little late for that? I mean, you know, yeah, we're, like, getting fucked up over here, and you're going to be like, go to church. Well, I'm sorry, Father, but we pray to God and Jesus Christ all the time. And it's not that I'm saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying that at this point, we need a little more help.
Yeah.
And the guy just was really a jerk, and we actually had a friend of mine. He came in. You know, he was a minister in his own right, and he came in to try and help us, and the shit in our house went bananas. Not even joking. Stuff falling off the wall.
So are you still in this house?
No, we moved 4 times trying to get away from it because we figured the area was just bad, which it was. You know, we thought maybe there was stuff going on in the whole building, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we moved 4 times. Well, where we're at now is where we were when we had to drive this thing out. So, you know, things have been pretty quiet for...
It followed you, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. And it followed us. And, you know, the behavior and activity in the beginning was kind of benign. But as it grew strength, you know, because we were told by... quote-unquote psychic. This person told us that this child was my husband and I's daughter that I had miscarried.
Mm-hmm.
So they told us that this was our child and that we should take care of it. So, of course, we gave it invitation.
Yeah.
And you guys know as well as I do that if you let something in, it is a bitch to get rid of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the thing of it is we'd have friends or family come to the house. As soon as they walked into our house, they got migraine. They started feeling sick. They were puking.
Wow.
And, yeah, and so I was like, this is not cool. This is not normal. This is not a real ghost. This is something
else.
Yeah,
you know, I've had issues in my house, and some people come and they never experience anything, and then some people have come. And there's activity, and, you know, I think it has something to do with the person, too.
You know, I think you're right. And I also tend to lean towards, as far as poltergeist activity, I tend to lean towards maybe who it is that may be causing it. I do think that a lot of that is, especially with teenage girls, because they have a lot of emotional instability. They have that roller coaster thing going on, and whether they choose to realize they're doing it or not, I think sometimes they can manifest that themselves. But
like
that's not what we were
like
dealing with.
Telekinesis type of stuff, you're saying?
Yeah. And
yeah,
I don't think that
it's
an intentional thing at all.
Yeah, no. And you know what? I have heard of some really incredible cases of, you know, poltergeist activity. It looked like poltergeist activity, but when you removed the person and put her in another place, it was happening where
stopped.
She was going. It was happening
exactly
where she was going. They came to the conclusion that she needed therapy to deal with her emotions, and that she was the one who was causing, through telekinesis, shit to happen. And when she started therapy, it stopped. She got a because she now had tools on how to deal with her emotions. That she, you know, I guess life was rough. Yeah, and that's very common in puberty as well as menopause, I think. When you're hormones,
you know, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, and a lot of people that I've talked to about, you know, PK, telekinesis, things like that, they take that to mean, I'm talking about crazy people. Now, there's no part of, you know, preteen or menstrual cessation, whatever, none of that says crazy. I mean, granted, you know, we can act bitchy as hell for a week out of the month, but that's not meaning crazy. That just means, you know, emotional upheaval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, again, how did you guys narrow down that it was a little girl and that her name was Sally? How, like, what exactly came up with that conclusion, just out of curiosity?
Well, she kept referring to herself as Sally. Every time we would mention the name Sally, something would happen. We wouldn't even be home. We would go to the cemetery to try and do an investigation, and the first damn thing that pops up is Sally. And every time I hear that name...
Pops up on what? What did it pop up on? Ghost Box?
Oh, it would come up on Ghost Box, or we'd be doing EVP, and it would just come across as Sally... whether we use Ghostbox or not. I mean, a lot of the time, I don't like to use Ghostbox only because it's really confusing to me. Through all the noise and chatter, it just confuses the hell out of me. And, you know, every time we would get that stupid name pop up. You know, and for the record, I don't use Ghost Radar or anything like that for investigation. It's a cute tool to mess around with when you're by yourself, whatever. But it you know how they say it doesn't repeat?
I don't really believe in the ghost radar. I mean, it's...
I don't either. I think it's funny more than anything.
Exactly.
It's
for show.
Yeah, and the thing that bothered me the most was going into it thinking, oh, this is BS, you know, this is whatever. Well, that's why we don't use it for investigations, you know, because it's not clear cut that that's what it is. Most of the time, the phone apps are garbage. But the funny thing of it is they always say that those don't repeat words. Well, they do when you're around me. And
yeah.
Sally come through 3 times in 20 minutes.
Wow.
And I'm looking at my husband going, this is bullshit. I'm not dealing with this thing. You know,
yeah.
It wants to play some violent games, and I'm just not privy to that, you know. And, you know, it really messed my husband up bad. You know, watching the man puke blood was just something I can't explain, but it was really painful to watch, and I know it took a massive toll on him. It took a massive toll on my daughter. I mean, this thing would take my daughter's form, and the only problem with that was, like, I took her to school at 8 o'clock in the morning. At 10:30, I'm playing around on my computer. I look up in the hall, and I see her walk into her room. I was like, well, that's weird, you know, because I took her to school. Oh, yeah, I took her to school, and I was like, oh, hell no. And then I got pissed, and I was like, look, you piece of shit. All right, your days are frickin' numbered. I just want to let you know that. And, yeah, I didn't like that too much. I've been scratched. I've been bitten. I had a handprint on my arm that not only went all the way around my hand, but it overlapped.
Wow.
Really long fingers. And I was like, yeah, you're definitely not human.
Yeah. Did you ever figure out where it came from? You know, just where you picked it up at?
Yeah, my husband, when he was 14, he was homeless. And he lived in Omaha, Nebraska. And I don't know if you're familiar with Omaha, Nebraska, or Nebraska at all, but in that city, there is a place called Hummel Park.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a little digging on that before he even said anything, there was a lot of sacrifices done there, babies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff. Well, he was homeless. He lived there for about 7 months. And I think that was his low point. He had a drinking problem then, which he hasn't touched a drop in 15 years. So it wasn't a manifestation of his mind. I mean, he's been sensitive or intuitive since he was 2, you know, that he realized.
Yeah.
And his mother, it took her 30-some years to tell him that is a family trait. She also has it. So
I
think
you know,
that...
Mom, I'm wondering if there's, you know, I'm always trying to find correlations and stuff. And, you know, your husband being having, you know, gifts, and of course he's had them all his life, and had this experience and picked up this attachment, and because they pray on the weak. And, you know, I've had a couple other instances on cases. In fact, you know, one of my own team members, he's sensitive, and she got fully possessed. I mean, this was a full-blown possession for about 4 hours. But I'm wondering if there's a correlation between people that, whether or not they're aware of it or, you know, per se out of the closet with their talents, their gifts, if they get a low point in their life, if they hit a low point in their life that, you know, these things go after them.
You know, I think that in my limited experience with attachments and things, I think that if you're intuitive at all, whether you know it or not, you're a beacon.
Yeah.
For all types of paranormal activity, whether it be, you know, you have dead people showing up wanting you to help them out, you have, negative entities, even demonic attachments that just be like, hey, you know, I can do damage if I get a hold of this person. You know, I can flip them and make them do my work. And my husband is not a small guy. He's 340 pounds. He's 6'2". I mean, he's a powerhouse, okay? And I think that when it couldn't take over my daughter and it couldn't take over me, like I said, it bounced back and forth between us, and I think it settled on him because he is so strong. Now, when we were told that this was our child, we kind of let our guard down, and we started talking to it by name, that kind of thing, and that just gives them more and more power.
Oh, yeah, that's your invitation, and I try to explain that to clients and other people in the field. When you refer to an invitation when you're dealing with inhuman, you don't necessarily say, hey, dude, come on in, you know? It's not like that. There are several different ways, and these things are very sneaky, and God has set rules for everything, the demonic side, and if they're not invited, they can't mess with you. So they go around the rules a little bit, just like anybody that's deceitful. And any kind of form of invitation, boom, they're in.
Definitely, definitely. And that's my thing with, we'll say, the paracelebs. My thing with a few of them is, it's almost like they throw caution to the wind and they go in and they start shit-talking this entity. Be like, well, if you're going to do that to them, you can do it to us. Show us what you can do. And it's like, dude, are you serious? Because there's your invitation right there. You're a badass and you want them to challenge you. Well, to them, it's game on. I mean, they're down for it. They're smarter than us. They know what you're going to do. You know, even before you know what you're going to do, they know you know. And they play us like a violin and, do some serious damage.
They know every weakness that you have. They know everything about you before you even step in the building or a home, for that matter. I know one of my former team members that has gifts. We were on a demonic case. And we had got a demonologist in, and he was about to take care of this thing. And the thing got—he told me, he described it later. The thing got in his face and started naming off every sin that he's ever done in his life, trying to break him down. And he was like, "Dude, get the hell off of me! You know, I don't give a shit. I know what I've done in my past. Get the hell off of me."
Yep. And that's the thing, you know, people ask me all the time, they're like, well, how can you be a demonologist when, you know, you have sins of your own? And I looked at him, and I was like, well, okay, first of all, you need to understand, a demonologist is a person that studies demonology. I did not claim to be an exorcist. You know, I did not claim to be a deliverance minister. I said, I'm a demonologist, therefore I study demons. And that got them all pissed off. And I'm like, look, okay, for one, I don't have the credentials to be an exorcist, okay? That has to be approved by the church, and only a minister or priest can do the full deliverance. You know, the ritual of exorcism is more than just knowing about demons. You have to know everything.
Yeah.
And that would be
And initially, like, you know, they take you and yeah, I mean they teach you very intensely, and they prepare those people for a period of time and let them sit and just watch exorcisms being done by professionals. And then they're ready to go off and educated enough to go and do it. But they've seen all the crazy stuff and how to react with it. As students, they get to watch that stuff.
Well, I think that's a great thing to be able to do, you know.
Absolutely.
But, well, and like it was stated in my bio, I am looking forward to working as, you know, they call it a demonic investigator, but what it is a worldwide order of clergy and lay people to do demonic investigation as well as exorcism if needed. But there's also a process that goes with that too. You know, the client has to be seen by an MD and a psychiatrically they have to be evaluated as well, and then and only then will clergy get involved.
Right. Oh yeah, because it's from being witness to a full blown possession. And having that, I call it a scar. But ever since then, I have the ability. I can discern whether or not there's something other than spirits there. If it's inhuman, I can feel it because of my involvement in that. You know, because that feeling will never go away. I know that feeling, and when I get it again, it's like nothing else. And it's very dangerous. It's very physical to whoever you're trying to perform an exorcism on. And so physically, you got to make sure that physically they're going to be okay because an exorcism could possibly kill them. As far as psychologically, you need to know what's going on there. If they got multiple personalities, and there might be several things going on, you know, that could have an effect, or it could be the reason why. And being clergy, bringing in, you know, the power of God per se, or whatever God I should say that the client worships, right? Because everybody has different religions and religious beliefs. These things have a lot of trickery, even when they're when they got somebody in possession. They'll trick you even then. I remember watching a couple of times my investigator going completely limp, and this thing would let her come to, like it was all over with, like the thing was gone, and then boom, right back into it, you know? It plays games with you. It pretends everything's okay, everything calms down, and then boom, it's right back at your ass, you know? So, yeah, when it comes to exorcism, there's a lot of involvement and a lot of steps that you know, like you were talking about, has to be taken in order to even do one.
Well, that's exactly right. And, You know, the thing that bothers me the most about paranormal community as a whole is just that they're, especially a lot of the ones you see on TV, they don't warn you. You know,
no.
They don't tell you that being even a paranormal investigator can be dangerous to your health. There's no warning there. There was a couple shows there for a while. I think Paranormal State, maybe on that show, they, in the beginning, they straight up say, you know, death or injury could be involved. You know, and I think even Ghost Hunters, or not Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures now, you know, they have a disclaimer at the beginning, and I think that's cool. You know, the sad part there is, you know, Zach and his team had to have exorcisms done because
yeah.
they, you know, they got something pissed off and it took after them,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and
yeah,
I'm glad Bishop Long was there to help.
Yeah, I've spoken with Aaron about that, and he swears that it ruined his marriage.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, it almost ruined Nick.
You know, and with those guys, if you watch the first season and you watch the new season that's going on right now, they have evolved because they've been humbled by all the stuff, you know, all that provoking they did in the beginning. It caught up to their ass, and I read Zach's book. Zach's house, he had his house exercised 3 times because the shit
mm-hmm.
came home. And so if you watch the new episodes, you don't see his ass really going at it like he did in the first season. He's more humbled, and he's actually, he don't talk about it on the show, but he does a prayer, and he wears a I can't remember, St. Benedict medallion and a bunch of different things that he takes precaution before he even goes in now. And when you're talking about physically, I mean, look at Zach. Any place that has any kind of mold issues or any of the, you know, airborne things, he has to wear a mask now because of what damage has done to his lungs in the past. And people don't realize
oh, yeah.
that.
No, they don't. And the respirator is always a good thing to have because a lot of these buildings that, you know, we go to, they go to, have asbestos, mold,
yeah.
all kinds of stuff in there. And you think you have problems now, wait till you can't breathe because, you know, your lungs are crystallized or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I know that Nick, especially with Bobby Mackey's, they really had some issues there. And the second time they went back there, you know, Nick's like, I can't do this. You know, I'm not willing to lose my family, my wife over this. It had threatened his wife by name.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that is bad news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
definitely. Yeah, and since we're kind of on that a little bit, we had Jay Wisely on several weeks ago. He's part of
oh,
the
yeah.
crew since the beginning. And we confirmed the rumor. It is true. It's not a rumor. It's actually news. You know, Zach bought that house in Indiana that family had all those problems with demonic entities. And
mm-hmm.
he bought it. And, you know, like Jay said, now they can stick cameras in there and they can find out what the hell is really going on and kind of understand it. And I'd rather have it under control, somebody like him, than Joe Blow down the road buys it and turns it into a place to investigate and put a lot of investigators in danger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to send my crew or anybody else in there if it's a portal to hell. You know, and I don't know that it is, but I do have, you know, friends on the inside that have been there as
yeah.
clergy. And they have said there is something wrong with that place. Well, that's enough right there for me to believe that
yeah.
I'm not sending anybody I know, and I would rather people don't go in
what?
There and not know what the hell they're dealing with and call them out and pick a fight and all that, because it may not even be you that they go after. It could be somebody that you know or love dearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what people don't realize when it comes to the paranormal. You know, Jody talks about it a lot too, you know, because her style, of course, it's not against demonic forces, but just asshole male spirits that are in some of the haunted locations, not client homes by any means.
Stop trying to sugarcoat it, okay? I'm bad. I provoke. And you know what? This, you know, it may not be liked, but I'm an investigator. And when I go to these locations, okay, say it's not a client. You're not helping. That's a whole nother ball game. It's a whole nother ball game when you're trying to help somebody. You're not going to go in and you're not going to fuck with it. You're going to go in and you're going to investigate the situation. But when I go and I do, like, these commercial places, I throw the balls to the wall. You know what I mean? And that's what Zach and them are doing as well. They're entertaining for the purpose of, you know, television, shock value. You know, it's a whole different ball game. You know, there's different sides to it.
Well, and there's ways you can provoke without being an asshole. You know, I mean, there really is.
Oh,
you can do it in a roundabout, non-offensive way. But still, if it's demonic, it's going to take the bait.
It'll
take the bait gladly. You know, they'll pick that fight.
I wish the team that I investigated with that I didn't know too much about, I wish they would have heard that prior to, and we warned them. We went to Yorktown Memorial Hospital. Zach and them had been there, but Zach and them didn't even talk about, or even the whole episode wasn't even about what was in the basement. There is a high-level demonic force there. Everybody knows about it. They didn't talk about it, which is surprising, but they didn't talk about it. They didn't even go down there and go at this thing. And we told the other group, because I had members on my team that already been there. One of them's a psychic, and he can see spirits. He can see everything. And he's feeling the thing. And so we're in the basement. 45 seconds into starting the night, the founder goes at this thing. And you could just feel the energy shifting. And I'm like, and my sensitive was getting kind of uncomfortable, because there was other spirits in there, you know, patients, former patients, you know, and she's talking human. So me being the founder of my organization, I was trying to figure out how not to be rude, get our team out of there. And so I told her that we were going to go to the other end of the basement and we'll communicate back and forth with walking. We went down the hallway and we turned around. And he goes, oh, shit. And I said, what? He said he just stepped out of that wall with his glowing red eyes, and he just looked at me and laughed and said, this is going to be fun. And he walked right into the wall where they were, and 2 seconds later I hear, oh, fuck, you know, and this thing had fought one of them.
Oh, you know, shit. And that's, you know, my whole experience that my family went through, I have a really hard time believing what we hear or even what we've seen, because now I know the extent that these negative attachments or negative entities, rather, I know the extent of what they'll go to make you believe their bullshit, and that's my problem. You know, if you have an innocent little girl spirit that tries to befriend you for years, and then as soon as you do accept it, it gets mean and fast, you know, I have a really hard time dealing with child spirits now. I hate to say that, But I always have that thought in the back of my mind, how bad this can go and how fast.
Yes.
You know, and I thank God every day that I know now how to take care of it. You know, I still haven't been able to perfect my gift of discernment. I'm working on that. I have to do meditation for that, and I have a hard time meditating. My brain will not shut off long enough for me to focus on anything other than, oh, hey, did you pay that bill today? Or what time do you have to pick up Caitlin? Oh, does Brent have his meds? You know, that's my thing. You know, I've got too much running through my brain for it to stop and be like, all right, focus, focus.
Yep.
But I am working on it, you know.
Yeah, the only times, and you make a good point, the only times that I've been able to feel something like that, whether it be at Yorktown or what, see, Yorktown, I wasn't the team invited, a few of us as guests, so it wasn't my deal. So as founder, I could relax. I wasn't in charge of shit. I didn't have to check on this, that, and other, and 10,000 things going on, so I was more focused. And I could pick it up right, you know, right then. And there's been other places, you know, commercial places that you can go and investigate that have some of these things going on. And my team rents the place out, and I get completely off guard. I had to leave a building one time because this thing caught me off guard, and I felt fever. For the first time, I felt fear in my body, and I had to get the hell out and get my mind straight. And then I went back in. Because, you know, as a founder, and when you have a lot of responsibility, you're not focused. You're scatterbrained. You got all this shit going on. So yeah, it's tough. You got to focus. And
we're easy picking. You know, when we can't focus on what's at hand, we're worried about everything else. We're easy pickings. You know, that's like the chink in your armor. They know they can get through, and they do.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're sick,
you,
like myself, I have fibromyalgia. I also have degenerative disc disease in my back. You know, I have sciatica. I have a lot of shit going on, plus I get migraines all the time. Well, you know, there's no better place to get a migraine than a place that has paranormal activity. I don't know if about you, but if I go into a place where there's just off-the-hook activity, I will get a migraine faster than nobody's business.
Yeah, I do too. I get that. So, it sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It sucks really bad, you know, because you don't want to take anything for it. Because you'll be out of your mind with drugs or whatever, you know, and that doesn't help you discern anything. Other than, oh, geez, those are pretty flowers. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm
not going to bash on paranormal people. There's too much of that crap going on. I mean, I know a guy out of Portland. I don't know if y'all know who I'm talking about. But he is such a bastard. And he will go around starting shit with people, no matter if they won the Nobel Peace Prize. He will find a way to screw up their program. I can't stand him. I can't stand what he quote-unquote stands for. None of that. There's too much bashing and not enough unity for that. You know, there's just so much of that going on. I would rather make friends.
Oh, yeah.
Friends
I just had a conversation with somebody about that earlier today. And,
And he's going to sink his own ship.
You should have seen how bad it was for me. It was so bad, like, a couple of years ago. I mean, I was just getting bashed and trashed and slashed left and right. Some days, 3 days in a row. People going off on me.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
would blow in and be
that.
Like, I would blow in and just be like, fuck all you people. Fuck you all.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I didn't care. I didn't care.
It
was like, fuck you all. And you all behave worse than my children that know it's not right to fucking bully people, you know?
Well, it's not in any circumstances, but doing it in the paranormal field, I mean, really? We're supposed to all be getting along for the same cause.
Yeah.
And when you have this kind of BS going on, I question this person's methods. I do, because, you know, for one, he stated he was Lorraine Warren's understudy. Okay, yeah, bullshit. You know, my friend Jerry and I, we talked to Lorraine Warren. She doesn't even know who the hell he is. All right. And then when he starts picking fights with my friend Christina, I was like, dude. And then he brings Rick Rowe into it and Jason Piper and just a whole bunch of other people that have done their time making, you know, a name for themselves, and they do their job well. But when he starts picking fights with them, they drop the gloves. They're like, dude, you can stop or we will sue you. And, you know, Rick, he's like, I will drive to your house and beat your ass. I was like, sweet.
Sweet. Yeah,
and I'm not
threatened a million times. And so now when somebody comes and says, I'm going to destroy you, I say, would you please go put out a post, destroy me, so I can go fucking move on with my day, because I don't give a fuck. If I did it, I fucking did it. And I'll go online and be like, fuck yeah, motherfuckers, and that shit was crazy, or it was fucked up, or this is why. So fuck you.
Be like, hell yeah, bitches, it was me, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care what position it was. That was me, or it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, hey. Fucking people are, like, they just, they're crazy.
Oh, hell yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, the thing that cracks me up the most about this dude, he, every time he does something retarded or just generally stupid, he blames it on a brain tumor.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so either, you know, and my friend Christina, she's like, I've known this dude like 5 years, and he has never brought up a brain tumor unless everybody was picking on him, you know. And I'm like, oh, classy.
Right?
Classy. I don't have that luxury to blame a brain tumor. If I'm being an asshole, it's just I'm being an asshole. It has nothing to do with my brain tumor or whatever, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, he just cracks me up. And I live kind of close to him and in a, like a geographical way, but I already told him. I was like, dude, you come over here, start shit with me, I'll send you home in a pine box. I'm not even screwing around, dude. I do carry a weapon full time. I will use it. If you ever try to threaten me or my family, bring it on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People are it's really crazy. It's not being controlled.
Huh?
So it's out of control.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, and Jody, you know, started a group of all women, and then they were on Paranormal Challenge on Travel Channel, and then it just snowballed out of control as far as the bashing. You know, they were called whores, sluts, you name it, because it was just all women. Good-looking. You know, what's wrong with having good-looking women going investigating? It wasn't like they were fake. They were actually investigating. They loved what they were doing. But, boy.
Well, what the hell do looks have to do with it? I mean, beautiful people aren't smart, and that's bullshit.
You know what? We came out as crazy models that, you know, all came together. I looked for, you know, people in the field that were different, and, you know, there were different kind of girls. They were comfortable, but they were all very passionate about this. It caused such a goddamn shitstorm that I literally had to shut the group down because of how much controversy it freaking caused. I'm not joking.
Oh, geez.
So much stress for dealing with being verbally abused and bullied for 2.5 years, that I literally had to shut the group down.
No, man. That sucks,
yeah.
Man. I wish you could have kept it going. That'd be awesome.
Well, in our own way, we have. In our own way, we have. And we still get together, but we just don't call ourselves the Paranormal Hot Squad. And we do our own thing. We put out movies. And, you know, we don't give a shit anymore about, like, putting ourselves out there. We keep doing what we're doing, and we just don't put it out as Paranormal Hot Squad because the paranormal field couldn't handle it.
No.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to say it, but there is a lot of eye candy going on in the paranormal world. I don't know if it's just because Zach's so stinking cute or what, but people, they crave that, you know, the good-looking paranormal investigators, and that's cool, you know. But I am not going to join up for any paranormal hottie celeb because, one, I'm not a celeb, and, two, I'm not a hottie. But how you look doesn't mean shit on how you investigate.
Exactly. And I think, and on top of that, and Jody and I have talked about it before on the shows, you know, it well, I'm not even to sugarcoat it. It's still a male-dominated field, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah. Yep.
And in women, it doesn't matter how you look. A woman in any field is still looked down as not as strong as a man's. You know, we're going into a haunted location. Oh, a woman, she's going to get scared, you know. Bullshit, I've seen dudes take my butt in the other direction. Don't give me that shit.
You know how many
guys
tell, like, when I first came out, guys would be like, you're not going to last in this place, Jody. And I'd be like, you know what? Why don't you leave the house and leave me in here for about an hour and see if I can learn it out, okay? And one guy, two guys did it one night. They were convinced that I wouldn't be able to last for an hour down in the basement by myself. So I threw my balls to the wall. And I filmed the shit, and it was broadcasted live. I had the chat room blowing up so hard. You know, I was entertaining people, you know, and I was having fun with it. But I did get out of control, and it was a lot of fun. But they thought, you know, guys think that, you know, women can't handle it. And I call bullshit on that. There are women that they know what the hell they're doing. They do have a brain. They know how to use it. And they also, you know, if the girl is right, she's going to use her senses and know when to back off if something's there. You know, use all of the senses that we have. I think women should be embraced, but, you know, it's all about the guys.
Yeah, we don't get that choice, unfortunately. But, you know, some of the guys that I have seen in the field, they don't belong there no more than a six-month-old baby would.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And, you know, and you study demonology, and I have several friends that study it as well, and we always have these conversations, you know, with all the hoopla on television, whether it's a ghost show, and they're always talking about evil spirits, demons. And then you go to the movie theater, and just about every horror movie now that comes out has to deal with demonic possession or something to deal with a demon. And then all these teams that have popped up everywhere, you know, that have zero experience, they're hell-bent on working with anybody, you know, because their pride is too high or they think they're the next one to get a show. And they go in and they try to help a client, and the first thing out of their mouth is, I think you have a demon. You know?
Because they don't know what it is.
Number one, don't be throwing that word around because this family's already scared, so that formula is already set. They're already broke down, they're weak. And you start throwing that word around, it's a form of invitation, and if there isn't one there, there's going to be one there. You keep on.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to scare the shit out of them, especially if there's children. And, you know, the thing that upsets me the most is sometimes these inexperienced teams, or even sometimes the experienced ones, I hate to say it, you know, they go in throwing out the word demon, all right? I have witnessed firsthand my child being scared out of her mind by what was happening to Dad and I. And, you know, there's nothing more that breaks my heart than seeing a child that is just terrified.
Yeah.
You know, and then they go in and they solidify that terror by throwing out demon. Well, what the hell are you doing? Even if you are a demonologist, you don't go in throwing out demon. It's going to scare them worse.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. But this field is frustrating at times because I've had people look me up out of the blue and be like, oh, you know, we think you're a fake piece of crap because you're supposed to be a demonologist, but yet, you know, you got your certification online. What the hell does that matter? I still do the library. I read. I learn. I'm doing it at my pace. So what does that matter, you know, whether it's online or not? You know, I know some people that got their degrees online, not paranormal, but still they got it online. So what the hell is the difference?
Well, and you know what? A lot of people are very opinionated about the certificates and shit like that and, like, what a joke it is. But at least you're, like, taking the time and you're learning the material. So, therefore, if you are going to do it, you're educated. You know other cases, however the program goes that you took. You know, they're fully educating you on the situation. And
exactly.
It's like me not taking the course and going out and saying I'm a demonologist. You know what I would say? I'm a student of demonology. I do study them. I am not a demonologist, but I am a student of them. You know?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's all
there's
about
a,
the honesty.
There's a difference. Well, like, you actually
oh, hell yes,
study.
There is. You know, and it's all about the honesty, but some people just don't want to be honest because they don't want to look like lesser of a person. I don't mind looking like a lesser of a person admitting things.
Yeah.
So, you know, for sure. And,
But, you know, and it's more so the people who are, you know, I notice a lot of people who do the classes as well as the people who are giving the classes get a lot of crap as well. Because then they're ripping people off. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, there's no happy medium for
these
people. There
is. You know, people are coming on and, you know, going off on the person for doing the course.
Yep. I'm sure Jerry, my instructor and friend, I'm sure he gets a lot of flack for it. You know, I'm sure Bishop Long gets his flack for it because, you know, he's teaching demonology now. Chad Stanbaugh, another friend of mine.
I'm not going to lie. I do think that the course is way overpriced. I mean, how much did you pay for yours, if you don't mind me asking?
What's that? I'm sorry, how my daughter was talking to me.
I said, in my opinion, I do feel that the course is kind of expensive, and from what I've seen, it's like $249. Out of curiosity, how much did you pay for yours?
I only pay $40 a class. There's 6 classes. So maybe, you know, the fact that they're many and they're 40, that equals up to $249. I don't take them from Bishop Long. And it's not that I don't like the man. I do, but I couldn't afford $249 in one whack. And the way I take them is, you know, I pay for the class. Jerry sends me the class. I do the work at my own progress. When I'm done, I take the test. And that's what I love about it. You know, I've got advanced 1 and 2 that I'm working on finishing, and then I'll have 3 and 4, and then advanced 5 is for my whole team to learn. Which I think that's fantastic. I think that it's good to have more than one person on your team that knows what the possibilities they're dealing with.
And for people out there that are listening, you know, when it comes to a case, there's not every case is going to have something evil in it. But when you have knowledge, like, you know, you're working on and your team's working on. And, you know, my team got tonight from experience and actually dealing in some of these cases and then bringing in, because we were always bringing in friends and colleagues in the field that have been in it longer than us and learning from them, you know, because when you go in and talk to a client, you start listening to hear if there's anything in what they say that could lead you to believe it's something that could be nasty, right? Because
they're terrified.
Yeah.
And that terror magnifies the problem.
Yeah, and there's also some things that I have noticed when dealing with demonic cases, there's a pattern to them. There's not everything on the pattern, not everything dealing with different levels, because there's levels of them, too, and people don't realize that. But there are things that all of them do in one way or another that kind of throws that red flag up of what you're dealing with. And so you have to listen to what the client talks about and some of the activity and some of the feelings and things that they see and experience, because these things, you know, just like the thing about the child, a lot of the demonic start by appearing as a child. And like you said earlier, in the interview, I'm always listening. The very first time a client calls, you know, if it's a spirit of a child. And then in the back of my head, I got that pink alert going on, okay, it's a child spirit. Now we got to find out, is it a real child or is it something else, right? So having that training like you're doing right now and then training for your whole team, that just makes you guys better to handle anything coming your way. You know, when a client is telling their story, you can discern whether or not, okay, we just got regular spirits here or something worse, because you have that training. And I think a lot of teams need that. I think every team needs that, to be honest.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is that, I don't know. I once said to my team, I said, you know, I would be happy to find nothing at all.
Yeah.
Or, you know, be able to debunk it in a normal way, like, I don't know, they hear Trinity knocking on the building at night. Well, how much wind was involved, and do you have any loose shutters? Do you have any loose side, you know, anything? I would rather debunk the activity and go home with a clear conscience and that family to have some peace, you know, because... You know, if you even give off a facial expression of alarm, they will pick on that faster than a seagull at a dirt contest. they will especially kids.
Yeah, you're under the microscope when you walk in and dealing with that family because they're scared off their ass. You know, some clients that I've had go to church on a regular basis, and their first response is, well, I'm highly religious. Why is this happening to me? Well, that really doesn't have anything to do with it, you know, how religious you are or whatnot. It happens to everybody because we get caught off guard. We do something or something's going on within the family unit that is causing this issue, you know. And to me, just like you said it, I would rather go in and it just be a couple spirits there that either need help passing over, you know, crossing over the other side, or they're just trying to get a message, or, you know, that kind of thing, because I can deal with that, you know, and you can normally do it, you know, maybe a couple times, couple consultations after the fact, checking on, following up, and it's over with. But, you know, and those are the kind of things, man, when I walk in and I got good energy, you know, feeling, and things go well, I love those kind of cases. Trust me. Getting the bad spirit, because soon as I take the case on and I know that, you know, and I got some idea of what we're dealing with and it's nothing bad, I know it's going to be a long fucking road because it's not going to be one visit. It's going to be multiple visits, multiple phone calls, and now my personal life and everybody in my friend circle, it's all going to be affected.
Oh, definitely. You know, and our job as paranormal investigators, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go in and investigate and do all that. You are a counselor.
Yep.
You are a friend. You are a library for the information. So, you know, we have multiple hats that we wear, and I love it. My whole thing, my whole life, was like, I wanted to help people. Well, back then, I didn't know I was going to be doing this, but I don't regret it at all. You know, I only regret that it took me so long to figure it out. You know, the activity we had and everything, I wish I could have nailed it from the beginning. But I'm still the resident skeptic. My whole team have gifts. I don't. So I work extra hard at it. But, you know, I love that I still have my skeptical edge. I like to try and debunk things first. That's good, because even some of the best teams, they go in and everything's paranormal. And I don't know. I don't believe in that.
No. No, and any good team, the good quality of a team, you got to have somebody on that team, if not many, that are skeptic. That, and I'm still that way. Even though I've seen crazy-ass shit happen, I've been thrown out of a room, you name it, I've fucking seen it. I still, to this day, if something, even if somebody's using a pilly-ass K2 meter and they're asking spirits question and that thing starts going off, I'm like, hold on a minute. Let me check that thing. You have your cell phone on you, that kind of stuff. Even that, I'm still leery, you know. And they get mad because I interrupt their conversation with whoever, whatever they're talking to, because I have to do my little thing of disproving or proving that they're actually talking to something or they're picking up EMF, you know. And I'll tell the spirit, it'll be lighting up, and I'll tell the spirit, okay, back away from the K2 meter, back away from the device. It'll stop. And I say, okay, now step forward to the meter again. It lights up. Then I'll say, stop, back away again. I'll do that 2 or 3 times to see if I get direct responses just on that. So I know it's an energy, some kind of energy field that's intelligent. You know, and my team will get pissed. But I'm like, dude, I gotta know. I got to know. I don't want to be farting around talking to nothing, you know. If it's something real, I want, you know, as far as intelligence-wise, then blah, blah, you know. And I check doors, I check grass, the whole 9 yards. And so they get kind of mad at me sometimes, but I'm like, look, you got to have those check and balances when you're doing investigations. If you're all believers and nobody's a skeptic, everything, a creek's going to be paranormal to you.
Oh, exactly. Exactly, you know, and it's not just like for K2 meters as far as being influenced by a cell phone. I mean, there's walkie-talkies, ours, for whatever reason, you know, you use the walkie, it'll spike the EMF meter a little bit, you know, microwaves, Wi-Fi, there's so much going on around us that I still haven't had what I would say validated K2 hits as far as conversation, you know. And just like I see some of them doing flashlight. Okay, well, I think that those are too easily manipulated by vibration or whatever to be a validated science, you know, science tool for this field. I don't think that they're 100% fallible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I remember, Jody, you were you did a lecture at one event, you know, about old school stuff that Nostradamus used to predict. And Jody got quite from that. And we're so technology.
Yeah.
After I spoke,
somebody came up to me and told me I was pure evil. And all I did was try to remind everybody that before we had all this equipment, we had all these other tools. And that as paranormal investigators, we should not forget about the old school paranormal. And, you know, it was different things. So people don't like different.
No. No, they don't. And, you know, you go and do your investigation, you get started, and people are like, well, aren't you going to do it this way? Well, wait a minute. You know, how many shows have you watched? How many teams have you had here? What do you think investigative procedure should look like? You know, because it seems like sometimes they know more about investigating than I do. Because they're like, well, shouldn't you set your camera up here and your recorder over here? And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. You know,
I don't tell you
how to cook your dinner.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, tell me how to set up my gear. I mean, dang.
Well, we haven't done this on, people don't understand client cases and even homes that people opened it up to paranormal teams to come in that actually have families that live there. You know, they have umpteen million teams come in. And we always throw them off because we do things completely different from, I guess, everybody else that's been in those locations. And we do, Jody, we do the Gonsfeld. And we've done the Gonsfeld, and the homeowner, they're like, what the hell are y'all doing? And I said, watch this. You'll think this is cool as shit because it works. And we start doing it, and we'll ask questions. And, of course, the person in the Gonsfeld can't hear because they got earphones on with white noise going through, so they can't hear shit. And we'll ask questions to the spirits, and the person in the Gonsfeld won't answer it because the spirit will talk to them through the white noise, and they'll just spurt out whatever they hear, and it's answers to our questions, which they don't even know what the hell we're doing because we have to show it to them later, and they're like, holy shit. You know, they were telling me the answers, and I spurred them out, and they were what you were asking. And so the homeowners are like, whoa. And I said, this is old school. This is stuff that was done way before the technology, and we do it during an investigation, and it works, you know?
See, that's something that I want to try, is Gansfield. I bought the ping pong balls, and we have the PSB7. And I have headphones. My only problem is that those responses coming through your headphones, you have no way to record those.
No.
And
all
that's hard is you get a liar on your team, and they're going to tell you that, you know, everything's popping off. No.
Well, we turn the white noise up when we're videoing, and we show how loud it is. We put them on the person, and then we'll start asking them questions, you know, just different shit, or talking shit to them, or saying they got a booger on their face, whatever, and they can't hear shit, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, yeah, you can't record that, but you can record everything else. And the thing, the only danger of the Gonsfeld is when you do it, you got to know how far to let yourself go. If you let yourself go too far, it's hard to come back. And you also, the more you let yourself, go, the more you let your guard down and your aura goes down. So things can come in if you're not careful. So you just have to find that, you have to do it several times to kind of find that stopping point. And because even psychics, sensitive that have done it, they get to a point where they got to stop. They just pull the headphones on and go, okay, I'm done. You know, they get to that point and they're like, no, I'm done. Because other things will try to come in.
Well, I want to make an extra input on, you know, my recorder to the headphones. I want to be able to record that stuff. Just because it keeps everybody honest. And I'm not saying people have liars, but what I mean is it raises the bar, to where people can hear what's going through, you know, because my husband, he likes to have the recorder going, or not the recorder, I'm sorry, the headphones on, the white noise going. He loves to do that and get the responses that way, and that's cool. And I know he's not a liar.
I like to do that, too. I like to do that.
Yeah,
like.
It was, you know, it's amazing. And a lot of the time, you know, especially we just got the PSP 7 like 2 months ago, and we have the Faraday
mm-hmm.
pouch for it, which blocks, you know, radio transmission. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and he's
what
also the one
that
can...
Did it come modified like that? Because I have the same thing you have. I have a PSP 7, but did it come with a filter, or did you have to get something to attach it to block out all the radio noise?
You know, when I bought mine, I was looking for the PSP 7, the second one they had out.
Mm-hmm.
But when I ordered it, it was, you know, Black Friday, and my order got lost. So by the time they got to it, they only had the PSP 7. So
mm-hmm.
they sent me that, and they're like, well, hey, you know, we'll throw in a free Faraday pouch and a laser pen, cool, whatever. And when I got it, I was like, well, you know, I guess we could try it. I wasn't expecting much. But you fold that thing up in the Faraday pouch, you get no radio transmission
mm-hmm.
at all. It's just white noise. You can adjust the sweep on it, the sweep rate. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, see, I have one that I got from Chris Fleming, and he modified the AM band with a filter. And so all you do when it scans, and in fact, Zach started using it on the last episode, you just hear the clicking of it scanning. You don't hear anything. It's just click, 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 and it's scanning all the band. And when something comes through, it's not a radio station because there's nothing. You're not getting anything. You know what I'm saying? And you'll get direct responses. But when you run the FM band, you still get the crazy-ass, you know, loud-ass scan. So that's why I was wondering how you were filtering it, because that's what I want to do. So when I run my FM band, it clears it out, and it's all white noise.
You know, I think GhostUp has the Faraday pouches, and they're only like $16.
Hell yeah.
So, I mean, it's
yeah.
worth it. When you can get into thousands of dollars of equipment, it's worth it to only have something that's $16, you know. We had a guy sell us his equipment 2 months ago. We're just getting it paid off now. It was $1,000 is what we paid, but it's more like $2,000 worth of equipment. Plus, he threw in brand new memory cards for all of it, and those don't get any cheaper. So we get it tomorrow, and I am excited like a kid at Christmas, man. I'm just like, yeah, you know. And really, the only thing we need now is DVR system. That's it, and we're good to go.
Right. Well, you know, my dog's acting up now.
No.
Yeah, she thinks she's the dominant female in my house and tries to mount me from behind, and she's fixed. But she tries to drive out my back. Yeah.
You have fun with that, man.
for people out there that watch the shows and are in teams, Ghost Hunters has been starting to... I still watch the show even though it bores the hell out of me because I want to watch see what the hell they're doing. I just had nose trouble for the last year. But they have the POV glasses, the full-spectrum glasses. Well, I have a pair of those glasses, but I didn't buy them for $100-something that they're being sold for because I ordered them on eBay for $16. They're just glasses with a video camera, and they record sound in them. Buddy of mine, who I will remain nameless because I don't want to put him on the spot, but he builds equipment. Jody knows who it is. He builds equipment, and I hit him up one day, and I said, dude, what's up with these new glasses that are full spectrum? I said, is there a way to modify them? He goes, hell yeah. He'll take you 5 minutes. You pull the lens off,
really?
You pull the filter off, you put the lens back on, and you got a full spectrum camera on those glasses, and they're selling them for like $100-something.
Damn, you ought to give me that guy's info and be like hitting him up. We don't have any yet. My husband wants them, though, because he sees certain things at times anyways. So he wants those glasses so he can be like, well, I know if I can see them, then those should pick it up. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I haven't really got into the user ratings too much because where we live now, they have some of those glasses there for like 80, 90 bucks.
No. I'll find where I bought them on eBay, the kind I bought, and I'll send you a link to it. They're cheap. They're
okay.
20 bucks or less. You buy those glasses, and then you take a couple screws off. I mean, I'll send you what he told me how to do it. He sent me a message on
that. Oh, heck
yeah,
that'd be great, man, because if I don't have to pay out the nose for something that I'm not guaranteed is going to work, then I'd rather not, you know. I mean, I just paid off this $1,000 for this two cases of equipment, and that's a good deal, but still, that $1,000 is $1,000.
and basically, you know, you can modify these glasses. You know, a couple of my, and I got a couple friends that did build equipment, and we learned how to take, you could buy just a regular video camera that still requires a small tape in it. And within about 10 minutes, we can modify that camera to a full-spectrum camera. And, you know, you have just the same thing that you would if you bought an actual camera that some of these places sell for $300. We can modify it, you know, any camera. It's not hard. And these guys are paranormal investigators, too, and they hate seeing people getting ripped off. They'd rather tell you how to do it themselves, you know. And because a brother of mine teaches how to build a static detector. I mean, Jody could build this static detector. I have no electronic experience whatsoever. And
Me neither.
I built one for $5 from parts at Radio Shack, and it didn't take me long to build it. And I have static detectors now.
Well, do you know the guy at Colorado Paratech?
Uh-uh.
Okay, I forget his name now, but we got a hold of him, and my husband actually built our EM pump.
Yeah. I built an EM pump from a strobe light.
He built one from a strobe light?
Yeah.
Right on.
I just took the motor out of the strobe light. This EM pump doesn't run by battery. You have to actually plug it up because the reason being is you don't ever have to worry about changing the battery out. Granted, you got to be in a communication to power, but you plug that bastard up and it pumps out an enormous amount of EMF, a lot more than a battery. And I built it out of a strobe light.
Yeah, ours crashed my mill, so I had to send the guy a message. I was like, dude, is it good for those to crash your mill? He's like, yes. I was like, sweet. Well, we did it then.
I have another piece of equipment a buddy of mine built. It's, you know, the positive ions that a lightning storm will create, that feeling you get when there's a thunderstorm going on if you're outside. It's an ion generator, and you plug up this ion generator, and it'll fill the whole room with ions, just like if lightning was striking in that room. And, you plug that thing up, you can feel it. You're like, whoa, the energy has just changed in here.
Right.
And we've got
good
responses. It's juiced up the spirit and their activity. We get crazy ass EVPs when we run that thing.
Oh, I bet. Well, you know, we're giving them energy. They have to have that. Even to make a noise is a lot of energy for them. So, you know, it's good to give them the energy, but if it's already strong, expect things to pop off the wall, man.
Yeah, the only person I wouldn't want to give a pair of POV glasses to would be Jody, because there is no telling what that girl's going to witness.
Oh, for sure, exactly. And if she's already a sensitive or, you know, even an empath, you can imagine.
Well, with Jody,
Jody's
pick
up.
Yeah, when Jody's crazy enough as it is, you know, the stuff that she would video with wearing those glasses, God almighty, help us all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I can't wait to see, you know, what she captures. Have her upload them or whatever. Oh, God.
Yeah, I would definitely capture some crazy stuff. But
I can imagine. My husband would, too. It'd be like, damn.
For the most part, though, like, I post, like, my crazy stuff is in my movies. Like, I've done some crazy stuff.
Well, I'd love
stuff,
to take a look at them
like,
sometimes.
Shit,
Jerry.
I'm putting that in there. What?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to take a look at them. You should either friend request me or send me the link to your page and everything. I'd love to take a look at all that.
Yeah, it's jodieparks.com, JODIE Parks.com.
Are you on my page already?
I have a website, and I have a personal page. It's facebook.com/queenofbirth. I'm the queen of birth.
Queen of what? I'm sorry, queen of what?
Birth. Yes, I said that correct. Birth. B-U-R-P-S. Birth.
That's what I thought you said. I was just making sure.
Yeah. I'm actually in the Guinness World Records for the first female loudest burp in the world. So I do a lot of appearances for that. And
the first female what, huh?
I'm the loudest female burp in Guinness World Records.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's cool, huh?
My mom's proud.
Is it Jody Limits? Is that you?
Yep, Jody Parks.
Parks, okay.
JODIEPARKS.
Okay. Let's see here. Jody Parks, there she is. I already am your friend, girly.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me. I'm friends with so many people I don't even know I'm friends with. It's like, hey.
Well, I see you're friends with Jordan and Lori.
Jordan and Lori.
Jordan Fernandez and Lori DePaula. All-girl paranormal out of Colorado.
Yeah, we had
them
on.
Where are you?
I'm in Washington State.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're friends of mine. They're cool peeps. So
we had them on last week.
Yeah.
Oh really? Yeah, I'm gonna have them on probably next week. So.
Yeah. No, they were really fun and. Yeah, I really like them a lot.
Yeah, they're amazingly cool people and just down to earth and friendly, and that's what I love the most about my connections to the paranormal world is you know, my friends, and I get a lot of support from them, and it's great. So
yeah, good. See, they're good people. You know, they're not out causing problems. So,
nope, they're not out to win $1 million. They're just doing what they do,
And hopefully, Jody, when she goes to Colorado, they're going to hook her up with some locales there.
Oh, yeah, they will, too. We, Jordan and I talked about a month ago about meeting up over the summer and doing a collaborative investigation. And I think we're going to meet in the middle. I think they said something about doing the Shanghai tunnels. It'd be equal distance for both of us. I'm thinking, hells yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be cool.
One of these damn days, I've known Jody so damn long. One of these damn days, I'm going to have to either kidnap her or catch her if she's ever in Texas and take her ass on an investigation down here.
Hells yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Hells yeah. You know, and that's the thing. That would be awesome. I am so far from where people go normally that it's hard to meet up with anybody and do anything big and cool and all that.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be talking to Amber here soon. We want to be locked down at the old Boise Penitentiary. And we went there once, but it was just a guided tour. You know, we guided ourselves, and we could walk through, do what we want. And I picked up so much crap there, not even trying. I mean, it was amazing. We went to, well, the pen, but what they called Siberia, which was the hole. And we were in there just farting around, talking. You know, we had the kids with us. We're just walking through, looking at cool stuff. You know, my son is 16. He's autistic, and he loves the law. So the penitentiary was the best thing for him. My daughter loved it. Okay. But we were in there, and we were seeing this weird stuff on the cameras, you know, and I said, is there, you know, anybody that wants to talk to me here in the cell? And the guy said, my name is Don, and this is my house. And I wasn't even trying. Okay, so it was just really cool. So when we got back to, you know, Clarkston, I said, you know, I'm going to look up the inmate record for Siberia. And sure enough, that was his name, and that was his house, down to the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Oh, I forgot to tell you this, Jody, that it brings up my news that I forgot to tell you, paranormal news. I'm not going to say his name or any of that because he's still getting the event together. But a buddy of mine that you have a show on the network, he invited me to the Myrtle Plantation in Louisiana, and I got a free cabin to stay in for the weekend.
Oh.
He's renting the whole place out, so I got free reign of the Myrtle's Plantation.
So freaking jealous.
Can I come?
Oh, I'll ask him.
He's been on,
we actually interviewed him, Jody. He's been on our show before, too. So I'll hit him up and ask because he's planning this event at the Myrtles in either September or October, and I'm his free guest.
I want in. Get me
right.
In.
Yeah, I want it. I'll drive down just for it.
You know, you could broadcast live for the radio show EVP session. Live,
yep.
You know?
And you can use
thing
called Ustream also, and you can stream your whole investigation.
Yeah, I've done that numerous times. But, yeah, Jody, I'll hit him up, see what he says. But like I said, it's in the planning stages. He's got other events going on in Louisiana. And as soon as it gets done with him, he's going to actually set a date for this event. But that was one of my places on my bucket list to go in the paranormal. And now I just got invited to go for free.
Oh, wow.
Bring one in. Use your powers. Get me in. Like 11-hour drive, 10-hour drive for me. So what?
Oh, wow.
You know?
She's like, I don't care how far it is, I'll do it.
and that's what I do, man. You wouldn't believe, like, I literally on Friday, I drove to Pensacola. Then I stayed there for a day. Then I drove over to Orlando, stayed there for 2 days. And then drove back at 5:00 in the morning, went to bed, woke up at 9:00. And, I'm a driving machine, man.
Wow, yeah.
I love to take off.
That'd be a good quality if you were here. You have to drive pretty far to get anywhere of, you know, distinguishment, or shall I say.
Exactly. Well, we're down to the last 5 minutes, Julie, so if you got any websites or anything people can go check you out, or if they got some demonology questions or anything, they can, you know, talk to you.
Okay, yeah, and Jerry Williams is actually offering the classes, so if you were interested in that at all, you could hit me up and I'll set you up with the information. But my name is Julie Schneider, S-C-H-N-I-D-E-R, and I'm always on Facebook. Just add me and no worries, we'll take it from there. And my team is on Facebook as well, so it's www.facebook.com/Lewiston Clarkston Paranormal Research Society. It's all one word, no dashes or hyphens or anything like that. You would have to capitalize the L in Lewiston, the C in Clarkston, the P in Paranormal, the R in Research, and the S in Society. And we recently set up a Twitter account again, and it's at LC Ghost Hunter.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for coming and talking with us, Julie.
You know, thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be able to let my hair down tonight and talk the way I talk. I'm a little out there sometimes, but I love being able to freely express myself. I had surgery today, so I'm kind of medicated right now from the surgery, but, you know, no worries. I still want to be able to come on and talk to y'all. I appreciate y'all having me. It's great. Thank you, Jody, as well.
Yeah, thank you, and it was a pleasure to talk to you and get to know you, and awesome. Good luck with everything.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe later in the year we'll have you come back on, see how things are going.
Yeah.
Awesome. That'd be great.
I'm planning on going to Colorado, so I'm going to hook up with the ladies, so... I'm sure
maybe
a crazy, crazy night, because they said they're going to take me to the dark side, so.
All right. You know, I've been to the dark side. It said I had milk and cookies, so I went there and ate them all and I'm back. So, you know, maybe if we can make it around the same time, maybe the girls will bring you with them to the Shanghai and we'll do it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit, she said.
We would be trouble, all of us.
You know what? That's all right. Trouble's
trouble.
Not a bad thing.
No, it's not. Sometimes you just go let your hair
down. All right. Well, thank you again, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right.
Have a good evening.
All right, you too. Good night.
All right. See, I really enjoy talking to people that, just everyday people that do this field for what they love. You know, like I said, I've been just going down my friends list and looking people up, and like, man, they sound cool. Let's interview them. And then we make new friends.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Well, who do we have on next week?
Next week, you're going to let you. between you and them, it should be one hell of a ride, because I had them on Sunday and we laughed our asses off. And you in the mix, we have the guys from the Saturday Night Show, the Bunker Boys, that's on our network. They will be on the show next Tuesday, and they're so funny. So, they said they like talking naughty to women. So, because I told them.
Oh, shit. Are you guys going to be dropping bombs on me?
No.
All right, moving on me. You know what I mean? Stupid little things and play out a little.
But they got potty mouth too, and they say whatever on their mind. So, Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll slam dunk those bitches and, you know, show them what's up.
That's right.
So, they can bring it. They can bring it. You know me.
You got to.
I'm quick with the comeback. I am quick with the comeback.
Oh,
I know,
dear.
I think quick. I think I, you know, got those quick comebacks that freak people out. And they're like, wow, that was quick. That was quick thinking. It's like, yeah, you know, I pulled that out of my ass. Well,
do you
cool.
Have
it should be fun then. Maybe I'll invite Megan on and, you know, it could be double trouble.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll invite her on. I will. I'll mention it to her and say, hey, we got some guys who like to, you know, get wild with women. So we need to go and make these guys our bitches. All right, I'm going to play us out. Good night, everybody.
Next good night. Week.
Now I will tell you what I've done for you. 50,000 tears I've cried, screaming, deceiving, and bleeding.